If you can find the book of Judges, and I think it's chapter 5 we've got to, we'll look at that in a moment, yeah? Chapter 5. Just to offer a little health warning about the book of Judges, there's some horrible things happening in it, I'm afraid. Things that the Bible tells happen doesn't mean to say that the Bible approves of them, of course. It's just recording the truth of what happened. So let's just pray and ask the Lord to help us, eh? Lord, thank you for your mercy and your love. Help us to see and understand the things you want us to know and to learn and to apply in our lives from what you've given us in your word, the book that's the book of all books. So we bless you, Father, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So chapter 5 is a song. It's Hebrew poetry. And the thing about Hebrew poetry is it doesn't rhyme. What it does is it often doesn't rhyme with the sounds, but it rhymes with the words, in the sense it says the same thing in a different way. Yeah, so it's rhyming with what the ideas are. But it's a poem, or it's a song, and it's a victory song. It's a song written, a song by Deborah and Barak to celebrate a great victory. So we're going to, and the song goes through what happened, so we've got the details. We looked at it last time. But this gives us a lot more of the detail of what was going on, yeah? Before we get there, just to say, the part of the story is about this lady called Deborah. She's quite a character, yeah? And what happens is God tells her to tell a chap called Barak to go and raise an army and rescue the Israelites from the rule and the tyranny of Jabin, the Canaanite, and his general, Sisera. And he says, I'm not going unless you go with me. And so she says, well, that's fair enough, but the honour and the glory is not going to you, it's going to a woman now as a result of that. And the story is that Jael, the lady called Jael, does something quite remarkable, as we'll see. What should he have said? If you were Barak, and you'd heard from Deborah, right, that God says, I want you to raise an army, go and fight against Sisera, and go up to the Mount Tabor, and there I will lower them, and you will defeat them. Right? And that's the message she was given to give to Barak. What should he have said?
Would you like to come with me?
I think he should have said this. The glory will go to God. Yes, God gets the glory of the victory, as we'll see he does that, yes? What he should have said, if God says it, I believe it, I'll go. But I'd like you to come with me. Because you're in tune, I can get some good advice if I need it. So, that's fine. But he didn't, and so it turned out a different way. But even so. Right, so verse 1. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. Or just to say, Barak, son of Abinoam. Do you know why he calls him Barak, son of Abinoam? It's a little interesting point. Because his dad was called Abinoam, of course. Yes? But in Bible times, they didn't have surnames. So they always called John, son of Fred, son of Bill, son of James, you know. They didn't have surnames, so that's why they gave this list of names to tell you who they were, right? So he's Barak, son of Abinoam, yeah? We would call him Abinoamson, wouldn't we now? Yeah. That's how we do it. Johnson means son of John, of course. Yeah. You've got the idea. So that's what he is. Right, so this is the song. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the willing people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Wow. Now, there's something quite astounding. Because what had happened was that the Israelites had been so under the thumb for so long that they had completely lost any fight. And then all of a sudden, Barak blows the trumpet and says, "Oi, we're going to take on the Canaanites. God's told us." They all rise up and they volunteer without being whipped. Yeah? And so he says, when this happens, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? When you get willing volunteers, as opposed to press gangs, it's a lot nicer. And it shows that God was working. That's the thing. Yeah? God was working in the community right then. Now, hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. Now, who's she talking to? Who are the kings?
Yeah.
Now, Israel didn't have a king, so it's not Israelites. It's all the nations around. Yes, it's a sort of a BBC broadcast to the world. World service, yeah? Now then, hear you kings, listen you rulers. Pin your ears back. Yeah? I will sing to the Lord. I will sing. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. What she's doing is proclaiming that this God is the God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now then, here we are. O Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched out from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water. The mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, how about that? She's talking about God coming in power. That's the idea. When God marched out from Seir, do you know where Seir is? It's in Edom. It's over on the east. Yes? And she's speaking almost as if, like when God came to Mount Sinai with Moses, same kind of thing she's talking about. God came in power, and he says, what happened is he marched from the land of Edom, he came out to rescue, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water. So there's been this one tremendous storm. Yes. Do you like storms?
Yeah.
Some do. They like to just watch these great, wonderful blasts of lightning and everything else. Some people are quite scared of them, of course. They are pretty powerful, but often the Bible uses these pictures, these earth natural things, to speak about God's power. Because God's more powerful than the storm, but he uses that, yeah? Right, so, what happens is God comes to fight for them. Now then, it talks about the old days. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the roads were abandoned. Now, we've seen Shamgar, he was one of the judges in the earlier chapters. And during his time, it says, the roads were abandoned, travellers took to winding paths, village life in Israel ceased. So, what was it like in the old days? For them, it was dangerous. It was dangerous to get around. It says, the roads were abandoned. Why were the roads abandoned? Because nobody dare go on them. You'd get mobbed or robbed or something like that. You know, it was dangerous. And so they took winding roads, the back roads, the paths and behind things, yes? And that's what happened. And in village life, in Israel ceased. Everything was just keeping underground. Keep your head down, Israelites, you know, because the Canaanites were ruling them. But it was all like that until Deborah arose. Arose, a mother in Israel. Well, what's a mother in Israel, ladies?
Somebody
who cares. Somebody who looks after and takes responsibility for the people. So Deborah is one who was raised up by God to help the Israelites. Yeah? When they chose new gods, war came to the city gates. And not a shield or a spear was seen among the 40,000 in Israel. Now there's the reason why they were in trouble. Why were they in trouble? Because they chose different gods to the real God. New gods, it's called there. But basically they were worshipping bits of wood, bits of stone, stupid ideas, instead of the real God, the God of Israel. And as a result, it says, war came to the city gates, even to the place where they could defend themselves. God brought trouble. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
God will give you trouble if you do it wrong. Do you know why?
Put you right.
To put you right. Because he loves you. Yeah. Yeah. He's not wanting to destroy, he's wanting to cure you. That's the difference, yeah? It might feel like he did destroy, but he's not. And so God gave them problems in order to shake them out of their foolish idol worship. Yeah? Right. Not a shield or a spear was seen among the 40,000 in Israel. Does that mean to say they didn't have any weapons? I think they had weapons, because when they go to war, they don't go carrying sticks.
No.
They've got weapons.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
They're frightened.
They're scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're cowards. They've lost the fight. The will to fight, because they've lost their relationship with God. And so they're in a mess. Right. So it's a bit of a bad state, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There they are. They've got the weapons, but they can't use them. And it's a bit of a mess, right? Now then, She breaks in again. My heart is with Israel's princes, with the willing volunteers among the people. Praise the Lord. It's them volunteers again. Yeah. I'm with you guys. I'm with you all the way. Isn't that wonderful? Right, so she's praising the Lord that God is stirring up the leaders there. Right. Now then, you who ride on white donkeys, sitting on your saddle blankets, and you who walk along the road, consider the voice of the singers at the watering places. They recite the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts of his warriors in Israel. What's going on there? Well, let's think about the people then. Who is it that ride on white donkeys? Have you seen any lately?
No.
Dan Hunt Stanton. But we're thinking about in Israel, long time ago, they didn't have cars.
The rich people.
The rich, yeah. The powerful, the wealthy, the top brass of society. Right, so basically saying, oi, you lot at the top, and then you who sit on your saddle blankets, well, I suppose you could count them as the top people, but maybe sitting on nice rugs as well, you know, middle class. And then he says, and you who walk along the road, you've not got a donkey, you're walking. You're the ordinary ones down at the bottom. So she says, everybody from top to bottom, says, listen to the voice of the singers at the watering places. Who does the singing at the watering places?
Women.
Women do. Yes, women go out to get the water for the family, right? They didn't have taps in those days. You had to go to a well and pull it out, yeah? So it's the women that go to the watering places, and what are they doing? They're singing. And what are they singing about? They're singing about what God's done through Deborah and Barak. They're celebrating the victory. That tells you things have changed. Remember, the previous year, you didn't go out on the streets. Yeah. But now they're at the watering places singing their hearts out because God's changed it for them. Wonderful. So, they're telling of the righteous acts of his warriors in Israel. So, they're speaking about the victory that God won, yes? Right, so, they're celebrating. That's what happened at the end of the war, I'm told, isn't it? Yes, out on the streets with their parties and celebrations, yes? Because there was something to be glad for. Right, so, that's what the singers are doing there. Then, the people of the Lord went down to the city gates. What does that mean? What's special about the city gates?
It's the gates in the open.
Yes. But what's significant about the city gates? You know. Right. Let me give you a quote from what Jesus said, yeah? I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail or triumph against it. What does he mean about the gates? The gates were the place where they, it was like parliament. It was where they made the laws, it's where they made the decisions, it was where they conducted the business of the city. Right? So, they went down to the city. Where were they then? If they were up, where were they up? Up in the hills, hiding. Yes? But now they've come down to the level bits, the cities, to the city gates, because it's safe. Right? Victory. So they all come down to celebrate. Yes? Wake up, Deborah! Right? Wake up, break out in song! Arise, O Barak! Take captive your captives, O son of Abinoam! So they're saying, come on lads, let's enjoy it. Cheer up! Great stuff, yeah? Then the men who were left came down to the nobles. The people of the Lord came to me with the mighty. So the leaders started to come, and then the other people joined them from the hiding places to join them in the battle. Some came from Ephraim, whose roots were in Amalek. Ephraim's one of the northern tribes, and they started to plant their cities, their townships and so on, in where Amalek once lived. Yes, so that's why it's the roots of Amalek, yes? Benjamin was with the people who followed you. So we've got one tribe, Ephraim, another tribe, Benjamin, they joined in, right? From Machir, captains came down. From Zebulun, those who bear the commander's staff. So another tribe, Zebulun, others were joining in to fight against the enemy. Yep. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Yes, Issachar was with Barak, rushing after him into the valley. So those are the people who volunteered. Right, so they get a credit, brownie points for volunteering in and get mentioned in dispatches, we'd say. But what about this? In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Why did you stay among the campfires to hear the whistling for the flocks? In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Do you know where Reuben is? Reuben's on the other side of the river. It's in the east, yes. It's on the east of the where Israel is now, yes. And they were out of town, far away. And what were they doing? It says there was much searching of heart.
Were they shepherds?
Well, they were shepherds, yes. They were shepherds. They got campfires, yes. They were hearing the whistle. They listened to the flocks bleating away and the shepherds calling them. What don't they do? They don't join in. Why don't they join in? Because life's comfortable. We don't want to upset the apple cart. Let's leave them to it. Yes. Terrible, isn't it? Yeah. Do you know, there's more discouragement for Christians when other Christians give them some flack than it is having to face enemies at times, isn't it? Yeah. So here are these fellow Jews, fellow Israelites, saying, no, we're not coming. Too bad. Then there's another guy. How about this? Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. They're on the east as well. And Dan. These are on the west, now the coast, right? Dan, why did he linger by the ships? Asher remained on the coast and stayed in the coves. So they stay home as well. Great, eh? Well, God can use people. There are limited numbers, we'll see that in another story. Even if they don't join in. But they missed out as a result of that. They got a black mark. And I don't know if you know, but Dan is a bit of a sad case, really. We'll see as it goes on in the book of Judges. And do you know, Dan isn't mentioned in the book of Revelation amongst the list of the tribes.
No.
Asher remained on the coast, stayed in the coast. The people of Zebulun risked their very lives. So did Naphtali on the heights of the field. So contrast these no good layabouts to the ones that were brave and willing to put their feet where their faith was. And act. So they get blessed. Kings came, they fought. The kings of Canaan fought at Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo. Right, so the kings were the sort of leaders of the different towns. They called themselves kings. Yeah, but they were just sort of local tribal leaders, really. But there wasn't just one, there was a bunch of them. They ganged together to attack. Yes? So, big numbers, yeah? But it says, they came, they fought. They fought at Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo, but they carried off no silver, no plunder. Right, they got nothing for it. Right, they thought they'd got an easy win here, but it turned out they were onto a loser. Yes. Now about this. From the heavens the stars fought. From their courses they fought against Sisera. The river Kishon swept them away. The age-old river, the river Kishon. March on, my soul. Be strong. What happened? The heavens and the stars fought. What went off? What happened? There was an enormous storm. The river floods. We've seen that. A lot of rain in a short time. The river floods over. The plain gets soggy. And the problem for chariots with iron on them and all that is, they get stuck. So their master weapon, the iron chariots, are completely useless. Isn't God amazing how he can do it? You think their prize weapon becomes their biggest lumber in a moment, yes. But the other thing that's remarkable about this, and I read this in a commentary which was really helpful, what time of year was it likely to have been? Now, the suggestion is this. Would Sisera have brought out his iron chariots into the plain if it was the wet season?
No.
Right. So the odds are that it was during the dry season that he came out with his weapons to attack the Israelites. Right? And during the dry season, when the sun's nice and the weather forecast is no rain for the next month, it's all fine and hunky-dory, all of a sudden they get this almighty storm coming. What's that going to do to superstitious Canaanites? Is their God's not working right. Yes? Because their God's the God of rain and all this stuff. He's messed it up. And it shows that the God of Israel is the one in charge of the weather. Right? So they're at a psychological disadvantage before they even start fighting. Yes. Isn't God amazing? He's busted their chariots, blown their brains. They're in trouble. Right. So, next bit is...
22.
Verse 22. Then thundered the horse's hoofs, galloping go his mighty steeds. That's his weapons are charging around, but they're not going to do anything. Right? They're running away, really. Yeah. And then it says, curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. curse its people bitterly because they did not come down to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. In the middle of the battle, when they're on the run, right, they go past a place called Meroz. And the people of Meroz have got the perfect opportunity to finish them off. And what do they do? Nothing to do with us. Right? And he says, the angel of the Lord said, curse them. Do you know who the angel of the Lord is? It's Jesus. Before Jesus was born, he's called the angel of the Lord. Yeah? That's what he thinks of people who don't fight with him. If you're not with me, you're against me. Yes. So, they don't get a very good record either. We don't know much about Meroz. I think that disappeared after this. Right. Next bit. By contrast. Most blessed of women is Bijael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Most blessed of tent-dwelling women. So she gets all the credit, doesn't she? Eh? Yes. And why is she so most blessed? What happened is, it says, he asked for water. It doesn't even tell you who the he is. Because we know the story, don't we? Yeah. It's the general of the enemy army, called Sisera. Yes, he did a runner. His chariot was no good. He knew he was losing, so he did a runner. He ran away, got exhausted, and turned up at this tent of this woman, and wanted to hide. So he asks her to hide him. Yes, he says. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. In a bowl fit for nobles, she brought him curdled milk. Now, I don't know if it was curdled milk. Yeah, because curdled milk doesn't sound very refreshing to me. Yeah? It may mean top quality milk, yes.
It says cream in mine.
It says cream. Ah, well, okay. Yes. I prefer water, I think. Butter, yes, yes. Whatever it was. She was, sort of, in a sense, lulling him into a false sense of security, I guess, really. Yes. He asked for all these things. She gave it to him. And what happened to him?
He went to sleep.
He asked her to cover him over with a rug of some sort to hide him and to stand at the door of the tent. And if anybody went by and they asked, have you seen him?
Tell
and she's
lie.
To say, no, I ain't seen him.
Tell a lie.
Right, tell a lie. She wasn't going to do that. No. What does she do?
Killed him.
It says, her right hand reached for the tent peg. Very quietly. Right. Her hand reached for the tent peg, her right hand for the workman's hammer. So, which hand does she have the peg in?
Right.
The left. It's the left hand, yes. She has the peg in the left hand, and her right hand with the hammer. And what does she do?
She struck him.
She struck Sisera, she crushed his head, she shattered and pierced his temple. She put the pin through his head into the ground. She nailed him to the ground.
Nice.
Yes. Okay. Right. And then it says, she shattered and pierced his temple. That's not very nice, is it? Yes. Right. But she was God's agent against this man who'd been treating the Israelites bad for a long time. Yeah. It was payback time from God. That's what it was. God used this lady. Yeah. Jail. At her feet he sank. He fell. There he lay. And this is poetry. Did he get up to fall down? When your head's pinned to the ground, you're not going anywhere. Right? It's poetry. It's sort of as if he was sort of standing there and off he's gone. He's over. Yes. Right. At her feet he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell. Dead. That's the end of him. Right. So that was the battle they've been celebrating. The victory that was won by Jael, this lady who got the credit for finishing off the general of the army. Yeah.
Was that the other lady did that as well, didn't she?
Which other lady?
Is that the same lady?
Jael's the wife of Heber, the Kenite, yes? Right, now we have Deborah's using her imagination, but I suspect this is what was going on.
Yeah?
Because we have a little story about what happened back at home where Sisera lived. Yes? He says, through the windows peered Sisera's mother. Behind the lattice, she cried out, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why is the clatter of his chariots delayed? Right, so she's watching the clock, if they've got a clock, or whatever, and she's expecting him back after the battle.
She should have used
a mobile. She should have used a mobile. They were not available in those days. No, no mobiles. No, you had to wait. Do you know, that's interesting, isn't it? In the old days, you used to wait for the news, but now you can't wait for anything.
True,
it's an instant world now. Yeah. But then it was wait. But it was waiting. She knew how long to wait, She knew how quick chariots could go, and she knew he's delayed, he's over time. So she's wondering, why isn't he coming back? Why isn't he coming back? Yeah. That's a picture of an anxious mother. Now, do you feel sympathy for her?
Yeah.
In a way you do, but, well, they're involved. I mean, she was part of the generation that was oppressing the Israelites as well, you know. But listen what he says here. He says, the wisest of her ladies answered her, indeed, she keeps saying to herself, are they not finding and dividing the spoils? A girl or two for each man, colourful garments as plunder for Sisera, and colourful garments embroidered, highly embroidered garments for my neck, all this as plunder. So, someone suggests, you know why they're taking so long? They've just won so much stuff in the battle, it's taking them ages to get it all together.
Yeah.
They take all the riches from the tents of the Israelites, they rob the people, and it says, what will they do with the girls?
Share
them out amongst the men. That shows how they treated women.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right? That shows what their attitude to women. And this is the women saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah? Right, so if that's going to be the fate of the Israelites, they're in for a bit of a disappointment. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what they're saying. We'll have all this stuff. That's sort of a way of appeasing her worry. Yeah, but she keeps whittling, I'm sure. Why isn't he back? Why isn't he back? Are you like that when things don't run according to time? Yeah, I must say, on a personal level, I can be very patient if I'm told it's going to be until Friday, right? But when Friday's gone, I'm not very good. I try. So the unknown is the uncertainty for this woman, yeah, right. But then we finish with this last little bit. They think they're going to get all these rewards, and what are they going to get?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And in fact, as time goes on, the Canaanites have become more and more subject to the Israelites.
Yeah.
Right. So, and this is the end of the song. This is the punchline, you could say. So, in this way, may all your enemies perish, O Lord. Yeah? That's what they'll get if they fight God. That's the way it is. Fight God, you're asking for a beating.
Yeah.
But may they who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. What does the sun do? It gets warmer and higher as the day goes on. He's saying that will be the experience of those who love him. Yes? Isn't that lovely?
Yes.
It's a good song. That was the end of the song. And then we have this final line which tells us what the benefits of that victory with Deborah was. It says, then the land had peace for 40 years. As long as Deborah was alive, and maybe a bit longer after that, everything was at peace. Yeah. And back to God. They turned back to God. That was the thing. There's the blessing. The lesson of Judges is, obey God, blessing. Disobey, problems. Simple as that. Yeah. But when you find out that God can raise up someone like Deborah, even a bit of a feeble guy like Barak, he came good in the end, didn't he? He did his bit. Did his fighting. So us lads, we've got to be strong, eh? Will the princes take the lead? Praise the Lord! Yes.
Chris, what is it your car says when you go wrong?
Recalculating route.
Recalculating, yes, yes.
Exactly.
It's not when you go wrong, it's when it's decided you're not going the way it wants to.
Yeah, that's what it's
saying.
Yeah.
Optimistic all
over. Okay, let's pray, shall we? And we've not got one next week, because we've got those two Irish lads coming to share about the work through, what's it called? Locust Ministries International. It's Thomas and Yvonne McLean. And they work all around the world. They support and help mission in Myanmar and other places like that. So they've got some interesting things to tell us. Yeah,
because he's very good. He's the one who leads the other Irish lads.
Thomas is, yes. He's not well now, so he won't be coming. He's the two lads who he's got sending out instead. But, yeah. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you that you know how to help your people and how to help them to be inspired to take the responsibilities that you call us to, Lord, in order to be able to achieve the peace and the protection and the security that we can sing at the water places, Lord, that the city gates become active again, Lord, that the roads are safe, Lord, because where you reign, where Jesus rules, Lord, there is peace and justice. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we see the terrible times that we were looking at in the book of Judges. We're not there to go around killing people these days, Lord. But we pray, Lord, we may see sin destroyed. We may see injustice turned over, Lord. And we may see your name lifted high. Grant us your blessing and help us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.